This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Everyone, and welcome to episode number 89. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. 89.
Yeah.
The square root of 7,921.
Is it really?
Yes, I just used my little calculator app and did that.
Nice.
I could have said, yes, I figured it out in my head, but nobody would believe that. So.
Yes, I did the math.
The maths.
I did the maths. Yeah. hell. Hey, John.
Yes, Mike.
What you doing?
Oh, you know, just putting around, getting ready to talk some podcasting type stuff about stuff and things.
Just puttering, walking around going putt.
Yeah. What about yourself?
I too have just been walking around kind of going like putt.
Nice.
Yeah, well, you know. Birds of a feather. But I guess we should talk about shows and such, because that's what we're here for. Such. It's a good word. So we're going to talk about things that we watched from December the 3rd to December the 10th and prior.
Yep.
And, I watched some stuff. You know, a lot of our shows are going hiatus after this week, or they're already on hiatus, or maybe they have an episode next week and they're on hiatus. So it's the herd is thinning.
Yeah, it is. I was noticing that myself.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, I'm going to have to come up with some other stuff to watch, which shouldn't be a problem because there's lots of it out there.
There is a lot of it out there, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess let's jump on DC on CW and get those out of the way because they're all on hiatus after this, some longer than others.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It was like Supergirl is coming back on this day. Flash is coming back the day after it. Legends is coming back a month later.
That's because of Black Lightning.
Yeah.
And then Supergirl and Legends are going to share the time slot.
What do you mean share the time slot?
Well, Black Lightning is going to be on Mondays at 9, I guess, or 8, or whatever time it's going to be on. And then Supergirl's going to be on hiatus to January 15th. And then when Legends comes back for a couple weeks, Supergirl's going to be on hiatus for a couple weeks.
Oh, I got you. I see what you're saying.
And then Supergirl's going to come back, and then Legends is going to finish up, and then Supergirl will finish up their season.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
But anywho, so Supergirl, we you know, we have the fallout from the crossover,
but only kind of. Did you notice
not
that?
Not really. Yeah. It wasn't addressed real heavily, other than just like, well, that was a weird way to get away, type of thing.
Yeah, like all and the other shows were like deep into it. They're like, this happened, and we're different people because of it. But Supergirl was just like, yeah, moving on.
Oh, they're on a different planet.
Yeah,
I mean, different planet, different
reality.
Reality, whatever. They're on Earth 32 or something.
Yeah. What did they say? Yeah, I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But, no, essentially, you know, Samantha kind of wakes up at home, doesn't remember becoming Rain,
right.
And then essentially loses time throughout this episode where she does become Rain and starts to unleash her form of justice on the evil people of I almost said Gotham. The evil
that'd be a lot of people.
Yeah. Of the evil people of National City.
Yes.
And including going after Edge.
Yeah. Mostly she just like burns her sigil into a bunch of things at first.
Right.
She's just a graffiti artist.
Initially, yes. But then she starts, you know, killing people. And you know, it has problems, it has implications on Kara's Christmas get-together with everybody.
I liked when the Martian Manhunter was talking to his dad, and his dad was like, "This is better than Life Day." And he's like, "Wait a minute, you have Life Day? Like the Christmas Star Wars special where, like, Chewie was going home for Life Day and Princess Leia sang a song?" And they're like, "What?" And he's like, "Oh my God, I hate you people."
No. He's like, "Wait, you've never seen Star Wars?"
That's right. Yes.
He pops back. He goes, "You've never seen Star Wars?" "No, how could you have not seen Star Wars?" You've probably never seen Star Wars either, have you, John Jones? "Empire Strikes Back is the greatest sequel of all sequels of all time."
And then he's like, he loves him more than ever.
Yeah. But then he keeps making him play Hall & Oates.
Oh, my God.
Which I thought was funny.
Over and over.
"We've already played it 3 times. I'll tell you one thing my father's going to learn is to love Hall & Oates, not play the song." I found that to be funny.
We also got to learn right before that, they give a very brief nod, and I'm sure it's going to come up later, especially from the looks of the previews, that when Mon-El got to the future, he kind of created or brought together the Legion of Superheroes.
Yes. I mean, he's essentially, I think we're going to find out, he's Superboy.
Right.
So, and his girlfriend is Saturn Girl or whatever.
Yep.
Or Saturn or whatever the Saturn name is, she is, but that's what she is. So they touched on it, and that Mon-El, essentially Kara was the inspiration of everyone becoming good there.
Right. Which is interesting because I know that in the animated series, it was based around Superman. You know, the Legion was formed around Superman and everything that he stood for. So it's so similar.
So, Edge uses Rain's, when she kills all the bad guys, whatever their version of a gang is, M17 or something like that. Anyways, he uses basically, he's like, "Well, it kind of looks like it might have been Supergirl based on what happened."
And it's like, he puts it really slyly too. He's like, "I can't not say that it was Supergirl."
Exactly. Yeah. But then, you know, when Supergirl and Rain start fighting each other in front of everybody, it gets, pretty much shows that it wasn't her.
Yeah.
But Supergirl gets her ass handed to her in front of everybody.
Bad. Like, at first I was like, "Wait a minute, how is she getting hit with a concrete brick and bleeding?" And then I thought, "Oh, wait, that's because she's getting hit that hard."
Right. That was my initial thought as well. And then I'm like, "Oh, she's getting hit that hard."
Yep.
And I don't know. To me, they didn't all right. So Sam just got her powers as Rain.
Yeah.
And I understand that she doesn't know who she is and this and that, but she still wouldn't have full, you know, it's not like, "Oh, I'm in the red sun, instantly I have powers."
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, would you?
And so in my opinion, she shouldn't be stronger than Kara.
Right.
Who's had years to hone and practice and train and everything. And especially now with all the work she's done with her sister and everything. So I have I understand the plot point. Oh, you got to beat Supergirl down. So then she's the underdog and now she's got to fight back from underneath and win and save the day. I get the story. It's a simple story.
You know, you're the best around.
Basically. Yeah. But I don't like how they should have made it more. They should have made it harder.
Oh yeah.
They should have made it more difficult. She shouldn't have been defeated so easily, in my opinion. I mean, something else catastrophic should have happened for Rain to get the win as opposed to just hitting her with a piece of rebar with concrete on it. Because if she really hit Supergirl that hard that it cut her, then that thing should have just been disintegrated from impact.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then the whole push dropping her off the roof of the building, she can fly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And she wasn't unconscious while she was falling, so.
It looked like that's what they were going for, but you're right. She wasn't actually, unconscious.
So I have a couple issues with that. And, with her sister innovating her.
Oh, yeah.
Because suddenly, you know, that's what Alex can do. She can stuck a tube down someone's throat properly to make sure they're breathing. And it looked like they had an IV bag set up, which, again, where they got a kryptonite needle on the end of it.
Right.
To put fluids in her. So anyhow, I had issues with that.
I had issues, on the one hand, I liked that they explained the symbol for Rain and who she was as being something primitive. you know, from yep. before Krypton was actually an evolved people. It was back when they were tribes wandering the wastelands, and it was like yep. a primal kind of thing, kind of like the Celtic, you know, for yep. us.
But Rey still only has her powers because she's Kryptonian and from the sun.
Right. Right.
That's not like she had these powers on Krypton, and so she had, you know, she, you know, or whatever it is. She only has her powers because of the sun. Same yep. as Supergirl.
And so. That's the other thing. Yeah. You know, I liked that they gave it a backstory. I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that the cult guy who's in jail
yeah.
just knew all this stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, I talked to somebody from Fort Roz, and he knew all about the World Killer, and she's called the
what
World
is that
Killer, and she's primitive, yeah. and blah, 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 and World Killer.
Like, is that the Mary Sue they call those people?
Yeah, yeah, the guy who just, like, knew everything so that he can give us all the exposition.
Not a fan of Jimmy and Lena being in a relationship.
Yeah, that kind of came out of left field, huh?
That's kind of dumb to me.
And the fact that he sells the Guardian Shield?
Yep, that too.
It's funny. I mean, I liked the episode. I still love this show. It's probably my favorite DC show right now. But there was a lot in this one that bothered me. I looked it up, too, because it was really bothering me. And, yep. okay, so at least in the first season, Laura Benanti played both the mother and the aunt
yes.
of Supergirl. And yes. now suddenly it's Erica Durant because we saw her yep. again in this thing. So yes. I don't know if they couldn't sign Laura again or if they just
they
really
They probably
said,
just wanted the nod of, hey, this she played Supergirl on Smallville and now she's on our show.
Oh, she wasn't Supergirl. She was Lois Lane.
That's what I meant. She played Lois Lane on Smallville and so now
– Right.
Because we've already seen the girl that played Supergirl on Smallville.
Yes. It bugs me when they do stuff like that, you know, like replacing Becky on Roseanne without really making full nods or yeah. you know, it's the same character but a different actress. That kind of right. bugs me. And mm-hmm. I also kind of had a problem with when Supergirl and Rain were fighting and they blew into that building and everyone was having an office Christmas party.
Yeah, and they just stood there and watched.
Yeah, well,
they would be running like crazy.
They would be running like crazy, and Supergirl would have tried to get them out of there. You know, she would have been like taking the fight back outside because she wouldn't want to fight and risk hurting those people. But she was fine just punching and kicking and fighting yep. her right there in the office. That kind of bugged me.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
But yeah. I saw, you know, on the previews, I did see one scene where you had people holding up rings, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if the Legion's coming back. But
probably.
I guess we'll see.
So, Flash.
Flash.
What'd you think of this episode?
It was good. They hit on a number of things that I liked, but I also had some questions.
Go ahead.
One of my first questions is, if the Thinker is so smart that he can devise plans that involve, like, dark matter and making metahumans and blah, 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 and he can do just about anything, come up with illusions and force fields to trap a speedster and all this stuff.
And his wife is also a brilliant genius as
yep.
well.
Yeah, he can make a floating chair with Dr. Octopus-type tentacles that can electrocute and grab a speedster out of the air. Why hasn't he come up with a cure for ALS?
Why does he need Caitlin to, you know, swap his body?
Yeah. Like, it's
I mean, they finally
like,
explained why he exposed the bus
yes.
to the Speed Force thing, because he's trying to find a metahuman that could properly house his body.
Right. So he found
or his mind, if you will.
Telepathic, so
yeah,
it was able to be receptive. So that's good.
And ultimately, that's how they used, you know, I mean, they're doing the comic book, I mean, I don't know, they're doing the comic book story of, you know, of Barry Allen being put on trial, the yeah. trial of Flash, but yeah. he's not being put on trial as Flash, he's being trial as Barry Allen.
Oh, but they want him to say that he's Flash so that he can, you know, clear
right.
his name.
Here's going to be my issue with this storyline. Nothing's going to happen to Barry. He's not going to go to jail. This is stupid.
Yep, yep.
It's like they're just going to waste several episodes until he proves that he's innocent and he gets out of jail.
Right. They've effectively found another way to slow down the fastest man alive by
– Yes, that's exactly what it is. And it's just – it annoys me.
Yep. When the cops came in, including the captain, I'm sorry, yeah. the captain was on this raid.
Yeah.
That, with like five officers to go pick up one CSI because they got an anonymous tip that he, actually they didn't say that, but you assume they got an anonymous tip that he had murdered the guy that he was supposedly stalking. Yeah. So like, they like all show up and they're like, Barry Allen, get down on your knees, put your hands behind your head. Like they're all angry and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that they have a better rapport with him than that. You know, he's part of the team. He's a cop. He works with them. They'd have been like, look, what's going on here? We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's do this the easy way. It just seemed like they were awfully adamant.
It's just, you know, when they put a main character in peril, when you know that nothing's going to happen to them.
Right.
It bothers me because it's like, it's not, I guess I'm at that point in my life where things like that I don't find interesting.
Right.
Or I just get more annoyed by it because ultimately at the end, they just, that's why I was like, I was glad when they had, you know, Oliver and Felicity to get married. All right, let's just shore that up. Just put a pin in that and shore that up so we can move on with the storylines.
I like that, you know? Iris was bitter about that right in the beginning. She's like, oh yeah, you know, they hijacked our wedding and everything, but I'm not bitter. Like, yeah, nice.
I think if they would have put, if the DeVoe would have set up Joe,
yes,
then that would have been, you know, the symbolism of now Barry's surrogate father also on trial for a murder he didn't commit. Joe, the possibility of Joe being sent to prison is believable because the show is called The Flash, not The Joe. And
The Joe.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It would have been – and then still have it difficult for Barry to try to prove that Joe, you know, like, again, they just found a way to slow down the fastest man alive. And, you know, eventually that's like every other time he's going to be fine.
Yep.
So I think if they would have done it to Joe or if it would have happened to Wally, if it just any, mostly, you know, any of those secondary characters, not that Joe's not an important character to the show, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, but anyways, otherwise, I didn't despise it.
It's kind of like reading a children's book, you know?
Yeah.
The puppy gets lost. It's hard to feel sorry for him because you know that within a couple of pages, he's going to get found.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's hard to be like, oh, what's going to happen? Just like at the end of last season, we had this same thing where we were like, he's in the Speed Force. He's trapped. Yeah. No, he's not. The show is called The Flash. You know
exactly.
He'll be back.
And then, like, in the first episode, oh, they got him out rather easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, okay, on Game of Thrones, they've established that nobody's safe.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, you can watch that and go, like, I don't care if this is a main character. They're probably going to get killed.
Yep.
You know, like, they've established nobody's safe. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. To that extent, The Walking Dead does the same thing.
The Walking Dead did the same thing, yes. And that's what made it interesting because, you know, like, especially when they beheaded Herschel in such a savage way. Like, I never would have expected that.
Or Lori dying during childbirth, you know?
Yes. And then being eaten by a walker.
Right?
So all those things to me are believable.
Yeah.
You know, like those shows, I'm not believable, but those shows, like to me, like if they put a main character in peril, I would be like, yeah, they possibly could kill this person. But yeah.
In this one, you're not even worried about him going to jail because it's not going to matter at best.
Right. And it's like he's going to get beat up in jail.
Right.
He doesn't have to show off his Flash powers to avoid being hit.
Right.
And to hit back or whatever. So, anyhow. But I guess that I don't have as big a problem with that show this week as I did with Legends of Tomorrow.
Hold on just a second. Before we get to that, I wanted to say, I like Amunet Black. I'm enjoying Katie Sackhoff on this show.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I love her character. I love her.
Me too.
Her flair, her accent. That's not Katie Sackhoff's natural accent.
No,
holy crap, I love it.
Yeah, that's just her making a voice.
But I love seeing her interaction, and I love, like we had talked about last week, that everybody's just fine with the whole Caitlin / Killer Frost thing.
You know,
to the point where the guys even like hanging out with Killer Frost because she has inside jokes with them, like baking soda, whatever that is. It was fun to see that. But, you know, seeing the Thinker, like, swap bodies, like, really? is this going to be his thing now? Is it going to be like he can swap to this body and to this body and to this body? You know, he did it specifically with this kid because he was a telepath, but does that mean that he can now have the telepathic ability to swap
right here, there? When he wears out this body, can he just swap into a new one?
Right. Which would be cool if it was two or three seasons after he'd been introduced. But, I mean, we're like six episodes into meeting this guy.
Right, yeah.
And he's already swapped bodies once. Yeah. And that's not even his power. Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's not his power at all. Well, maybe it is now, I guess. Who knows?
So, yeah.
The writers know.
So, as you were saying, Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Bebo the God.
This is so stupid. They immediately put okay. That was my first note. This is so stupid. First of all, the Legends are still coping with the loss of Martin, and they are immediately put in a scenario with a younger version of Martin.
Yeah. That is a 12 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Piss me off so bad.
Their technology from beyond the stars, blah, blah, blah. They've come up with this whole system of categorizing these anachronisms, and it's a 12 out of 10.
Yep. Oh, it was so bad. We had, also, the Vikings are so dumb, they're going to believe that Bebo is a god.
Yes, Bebo, the god of war.
But you know what I mean? Like, that, to me, all right, so when they show, oh, in the future now, the Vikings never left, and the Statue of Liberty is now Viking, and da-da-da-da. Hi, I'm sorry, the batteries would have died.
Not only that, but like...
And it would have stopped working, and then they would have left.
Or they would have dropped it once, and it would have gone into a repeating loop, because you know how kids' toys are.
Yep.
Bebo, so, Bebo, Bebo, Bebo.
To me, that was absolutely stupid, that whole premise of the dealing with the Vikings. And then, oh, the Time Bureau's in disarray because Rip's in jail.
Well, not only that, but apparently...
And Dark is too strong for them to deal with.
Yeah, and apparently the Time Bureau is not immune to the ripples of these anachronisms. The thing that they were put together to fight, and... She's like, oh, it's Bebo Day. What? Bebo Day, that's a thing, right? Oh, no, it's the anachronism.
Yeah.
Why is the Time Bureau affected by this?
You would think they would be protected by it somehow, so they would know when a change has happened, so they would know when to fix it.
Yeah, because they're supposed to be out there fighting anachronisms. That's why they were built. They were built around the same technology as the Wave Rider, so they should be protected, but apparently no, it's...
And then it was Odin Day.
Dude, when they came to the close and they finally stopped Bebo, whatever, at first, I was like, oh, wow, this was a stupid episode. And then I hit pause and I'm like, holy shit, we're only halfway through.
That's exactly what I did. This went by really fast. How much do we get to go? Oh, shit, a whole other episode? And then
Dark shows up with a fake blonde wig and a Viking helmet pretending to be Odin. And I went, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, this was all dumb. All dumb. And then the only thing that came from it is that Jax tries to ward Martin with a letter. Martin burns it, so Martin still dies.
Because he knows how Back to the Future works.
Yeah, Jax goes and talks to him again. And Jax decides he's going to leave the ship, which that surprised me. When I heard that the actor that played played Gray was going to leave the show, I figured they'd figure out a way to keep Firestorm on the ship somehow.
Right.
And it looked like that's what they were doing in the storylines. And now Jax decides to leave the show. That kind of surprised me.
It did, but it didn't. Like, what were they really going to do with him? They didn't find a way to make Firestorm work by himself. Firestorm in the comics has always been a dual entity, except for in the Dark Earth where Killer Frost first came from. I believe that Ronnie was by himself, if I remember correctly. But, so I was kind of not surprised that they would write him off because what's he going to do at that point?
Well, I figured they'd just take their creative license and get Cisco the Genius or something to figure out a way to make him so he could be Firestorm on his own.
Yeah, which he probably could, and maybe he'll come back at another point.
Right. But either way, I read that an existing Arrowverse character is going to replace Firestorm on the team. They wouldn't say who exactly, but a lot of people think it's going to be Kid Flash.
I was thinking it was Snart. Since he suddenly decided that he was going to go with them.
I don't know. I heard rumors it was going to be Kid Flash. Snart didn't even really come up from what I was reading online.
Gotcha.
Of course, the best part of the entire episode is the last, like, 30 seconds.
Yes.
When John Constantine shows up after Sarah's dropped off Jax, telling her that he needs the team's help because there's a little girl who's possessed by a demon that knows her name.
Yep.
And then they go, oh, and by the way, fuck you for 2 months until you get to see any of this again.
I was happy to see Snart back. I like this new version of Snart. I liked seeing his interactions with Mick. You know, he's definitely the opposite. You know, he's the goody-goody, touchy-feely type. But
a little too much for my liking. Like, a little campy over the top.
It is very campy over the top, but I was okay with it, personally. Like, because Mick is such a blunt instrument,
yep.
For me, it's kind of nice seeing, like, that kind of play off it. But, you know, Mick, of course, continues to be my favorite character, also because he's the only one that doesn't annoy me regularly.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, otherwise, this was a horribly done episode, and it really pissed me off, and it really didn't do anything for the credibility of the show, which was already low to begin with. In my
opinion. All right, so let's roll into Arrow.
Yeah.
I've already said it today, so I'm just going to say it. Fuck this show.
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
Yeah. I took zero notes on Arrow because as I was watching it, I was like, I don't care.
So the long and the short of it is this. Renee, or Wild Dog, is going to testify against Oliver for Agent Watson because she found evidence that he's Wild Dog and she's going to hold his kid over his head.
So she's a traitor to the team.
So they're going to kick him off the team, but then Lance is kidnapped by Caden, James, and Laurel. So they all come together to try to rescue Lance. Laurel lets him escape.
Yep.
So then Oliver permanently kicks Wild Dog off the team for not listening again and saying, I can't trust you. So Renee goes, hangs with his daughter now. And then Dinah and Curtis, they leave Team Arrow because they can't trust Oliver.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, exactly. And, whatever. I don't even care. It's just, I can't trust you. We can't trust you, Oliver.
It's the same thing week after week after week after week.
It's like we've seen this. We've seen this story. I'm okay with this one being on hiatus. I tell you what, I probably would give up Arrow if I wasn't watching the other three. You know what I mean?
Like, uh-huh. Yeah.
They all bleed over each other just enough that I got to keep up on what's happening on Arrow.
I know. And doesn't it seem like they've set it up to be a downhill slope for the week? You start off with Supergirl, consistently rated at like 9s and 9.5s, and then you go to Flash. And then you go to Legends, and then you go to Arrow. Boo. It's like you start off high, and you end at the lowest. Because honestly, right now, I hate Arrow more than I hate Legends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I personally, Stephen Mello on social media seems really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And a really nice guy.
Yep.
So, like, I want to watch his show because he's a great guy. But, like, his show is so, at times, ridiculously predictable, recycling same themes over and over again, stupid, but it pushes me away.
Yeah. It's like they have one writer, and he only knows how to do one thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Can't trust, can't trust, can't trust, can't trust, can't trust. Holy crap, people. Find some new angles on life.
So, keeping in the comic book themes, S.H.I.E.L.D., did you watch episode 3?
I did.
What do you think?
It definitely, after the first two episodes, this one felt not like a filler, but like a, okay, we're plodding along at a little pace here. I enjoyed parts of it, but it really felt like things are kind of slow right now. Like, I want them to know what happened to the Earth. I want them to know, start making plans on how they're going to get back. I know maybe that's a little greedy of me, but this was the settling in episode. You know, okay, you know, my very first note was labor is tough. Because, you know, we've got like 5 minutes in the beginning of the episode just watching them labor and listening to the guy telling them about how they need to labor more. And, you know, they
get that's mad the other about thing. The labor. They put this guy on them who's got control over their gadgets on their arms.
Yep.
And he's just like a jerk who forces people to do things the way he wants to do them because he's got power. They don't. Right. Yeah. I can't stand the fact they put such an obstacle on them like that, that every single week they're going to find a way to easily overcome.
Yeah, and they did. They came up with a creative but fairly easy way to overcome this guy by planting a gun on him.
Yep. Oh, but, you know, actually, that's the other thing, too. Like, Mac, all right, so I can't think of the chick's name, but she wanted to dump this guy into space. She wanted to jettison this guy into outer space once after they beat him up because she's like, oh, my God, we're going to be killed.
Right.
And Mac and everyone's like, we're not going to do that. Fuck that. Why not?
S.H.I.E.L.D. has a code.
You know, like, I understand S.H.I.E.L.D. has a code. You're in the future in space, but you're not – free access to all of outer space. You are actually confined in a finite space,
right,
where you have no control over yourself practically, especially these devices that are implanted in your arm. So the rules have changed. Kill the guy.
Right.
But what I think they're going with now that I've seen the episode is Yo-Yo so easily set this guy up to be deb to traitor and then possibly like executed or whatever they're going to do to him, which we found out they dumped on what's left of Earth. Mac seemed to have a problem with that.
Yeah, he seemed to have a problem with just about anything.
Yeah, Mac seemed to have a problem with that. So I'm like, are they going to use this as a catalyst to cause tension between the two when it's
– Mac does a good job when he's on point, but otherwise he's a very annoying character.
Yep.
Because everything with – like think about him in the Matrix – or sorry, the
Framework
last season. You know, I'm staying here for my little girl. She is not real. She is literally not real. I don't care. I'm staying here with her. You know, he can be a very foolhardy and, what's the word that I'm looking for? Not optimistic, but that kind of, you know, person.
Pessimistic?
No. It's, idealistic. You know,
okay, yep.
We're not gonna throw this guy into space, but we're also not gonna set him up. You know, we're just gonna, what? Keep taking your
mumps?
We're
going to talk about it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it. I'm going to keep getting beat up. Yeah. It was dumb. And then Simmons helps this young inhuman girl to kind of help control her powers. And then she gets put in a fight to the death. And of course she wins. And then.
Pretty gruesomely, too.
Yeah.
I love the slow-mo of watching that guy's arm break. Like, not just break, but, like, crumble.
That was pretty cool. I don't know why they bothered showing us that. Like, I wonder what that's going to actually ultimately become in the long run. Like, this woman that came from the outer planet to there to battle so she could take an inhuman with her. Like,
because she bought it. That's to show us that they're all for sale.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But still, it's kind of, like, a little over the top.
Yeah. I don't like how Deke ratted on Quake and got her captured.
Oh, yeah. I mean, on the one hand, you kind of expected it because he's a Deke.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, again, third episode and technically second episode because the first two episodes were like one shot.
Yeah. So I didn't like that either. It's the building of the insurmountable odds that they're going to overcome. And I feel like I'm done with that in life somehow. Like, all right, here it is again. They're going to build this big, huge thing that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to struggle to overcome. And they're actually going to, and they'll overcome it in the end. And yada, yada, yada. And the worst thing that's going to happen at all this is Yo-Yo might get killed.
the framework was great. The LMDs were great. You know, Ghost Rider was phenomenal.
I loved Ghost Rider.
So I'm already a little bit annoyed at this season.
The framework was so great because it was like I was saying, it was insurmountable odds, but it was – how do I say this?
It was a different kind.
It was different, yeah. They told us, oh, if you die in the framework, you die in real life, and they showed us that.
Right.
But I didn't have a belief that anything was going to happen to them. And I don't know, just the way – I guess maybe the story was just told better. I just enjoyed it better than what I'm seeing right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Looking back to the first two episodes, how they had to throw in there, just because we were all wondering it, how they had to throw in that Coulson didn't bring his super high-tech arm with him because they were just going to go eat pie.
Yeah.
And he's kind of glad that he didn't because they probably would have taken it away.
Taken away from him in prison, yeah.
No. You should have brought that arm. That arm should be with you at all time. That'd be like Cap being like, no, I'm going to leave my shield home today. Or Tony not bothering to have any kind of armor with him, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just going grocery shopping. You know, I'm sure that I'll be fine without some armor.
Yeah, no, you're not going to be fine.
No. This is the Marvel world, people. So that kind of annoyed me because now they're in the future. And we still, three episodes in, haven't seen, other than that postcard, anything from Fitz.
Yeah. You would think we would have seen something.
Yep. Yeah.
I did like the little Easter egg there that the piece of the earth that it was bound, that the signal was bouncing out off of was called 616.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I like that a lot. This will be another one of those, kind of like when Gemma was stranded on that planet, you know, through the portal type thing that got a little old pretty quickly. This is going to be another one of those where they're going to keep trying to get back to that planet and they'll arrange it. This is my prediction. They're going to arrange it so that one of them gets banished there so they can meet up with this person that's trying to send the signal out and figure out what's going on and then try to get back.
And just hopefully they don't get attacked by the pitch black monsters.
Nice.
Yeah. So, anyhow, you watching The Gifted still?
I am.
I'm not, I guess. What's going on there?
This week, not only did they, like, fully talk about and give in to the whole, you know, oh, Fenris existed when the, you know, brother and sister twins held hands, they become super powerful, so now these two, they're like, you know, oh, make sure that they don't hold hands, because if they do, then they're going to channel their power. Why? You know, through the history of mutants, I've never seen that kind of thing happen, and maybe there has been one or two, but it just seems ridiculous, you know? The mutants don't inherit the same powers as their parents, mostly, you know? Otherwise, it would be a pretty boring world. But also, these two have two different powers, and, you know, hers was always force fields. You know, she could, like, make force fields and stuff like that. She said that she was moving the air. Well, now they've altered the description of that to say, oh, well, he tears things apart and I bring them together. No, you don't. You push the air and make force fields. You don't bring things together. Otherwise, you'd be like bringing things together. That would be a thing.
That's some fast and loose writing they're doing there.
So then, like, he's showing her how to use a skateboard. She's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to. And he's like, oh, come on, try it. And then she slips off it and he grabs her and their hands interlock and suddenly, like, time slows down and their hair is going up on end. And oh, we felt it. We feel it. And then, you know, most of the rest of the episode is them talking about how they felt it and talking about how there's so much more that they can do. And, you know, we felt like the entire world could be made or unmade by us just by touching each other. And holy shit, are we really going to make these kids gods?
Looks like they did.
And they're not even twins. You know, that was the whole thing with the Fenris kids. And even his wife asks him, okay, the dad there, his wife asks him, she's like, well, how come you don't have powers if this is supposed to be a generational thing? And he's like, oh, well, my dad, you know, he removed the X gene from me because he was part of a thing where they were able to do that. So he removed it from me, but apparently it went back in for the kids. And, you know,
oh my like, God, well, why haven't they done that with everyone in the fucking right? world if that's what they want to do?
Right?
She's like at birth, test them and take it. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. She's like, how come you didn't tell me about this? He's like, well, we thought that I had leukemia for a little while as a kid, but it was just that you thought you had leukemia. Like a cold, and you were like, oh, whew, I got over that in a couple of weeks, thank God. So, it's starting to annoy me more. Yeah.
Doesn't urge me to want to go back and watch it.
No. And it started off so good. I was so excited. But now it's just, it's turning into, okay, you remember when Heroes got ridiculous because it was focusing on just the cheerleader? You know, and everything was about her, and Siler wanted to get a hold of her, and we were like, Jesus Christ, there are other heroes in the world, people. It's that same kind of thing with these two. You know, it's like all the other mutants don't even matter. We get their little side stories and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter because the spotlight is on these two and how powerful they can be together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. So Lethal Weapon was good this week.
It was. I agree.
I enjoyed it. They've dealt with a guy who had schizophrenia who thought he saw Elvis trying to change the lights to the street lights to blow something up, and it was close.
Yeah, it really was.
It was close. The big backstory is Riggs and his relationship with was it Molly? Yeah, yes. Molly.
Yeah.
I found that very enjoyable, actually.
I did as well. And it kind of put to rest the whole will here, won't he get together with the shrink, because it really doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of glad about that. And the shrink didn't even show a tinge of jealousy that, you know, Razor's with somebody else. Which,
and I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, me too. But it's just a great show. Again, I was talking to someone else about it, Jeremy at work, who hasn't watched it. And Rude had told him, oh, I told him you should watch Lethal Weapon. It's great. And I said, I concur. It is good. And he's like, oh, I really like the movies. And once again, you can love the Lethal Weapon movies and you can still like this show. Because I thought this show was going to suck because I liked the movie so much. But then there's just something about the chemistry between the two.
Yep. The chemistry between the two. Make sure that they're on the screen together or make sure that it's all about Riggs. Because my God, Murtaugh sucks.
Yeah, I will say that. The annoying this week of Murtaugh is, first of all, anyone putting their kid in a preschool of that caliber is just a waste of time in my life. I'm annoyed by things like that.
Absolutely.
But still, yeah, Murtaugh is quite annoying.
You know, the whole thing about how the school is so elite that they don't even allow parents to have a TV in their house. Okay, then we don't need to go to that school.
That's and they can't be subjected to pop culture.
Yeah, any of it. And then, of course,
like, that is just so absurd. And maybe there are places like that that exist, but there's no place in my life or I ever want to be where I'm not subjected to pop culture or television.
And how did Murtaugh not put up more of a stink knowing that he wouldn't be able to watch, like, a sports game?
Because because it's everything for his – because everything for my little girl.
Those kind of parents annoy me.
To be the hero.
Yeah. Those kind of parents annoy me, especially when they're written into TV shows like that.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So then, of course, you know, we have the whole reveal moment where they're – trying to get that car to stop from crashing into the movie theater, and he sees that who's coming out of the movie theater but the woman who decided on the fate of his daughter.
Yes.
So she's been watching movies and absorbing pop culture.
Yeah. So, I've got it on dash cam. Here, I got copies of this. My kid's getting into this school.
So he basically blackmails her.
Yeah, he did. He, as like a 100%. Law enforcement officer, blackmailed someone. Anywho. Did you watch the Superstore Christmas special?
Sure as hell did.
Isn't really a Christmas special, but a Christmas episode. I thought it was fantastic.
I did too.
I thought it was great. Amy wants to prove that she's not doesn't have a stick way up her butt, so she decides, well, I'm going to spike the punch at the in-store on-shift Christmas gathering.
Yeah,
and get everybody drunk.
Crazy Amy.
Yeah, crazy, cramy.
Oh, and I love the whole intro part where Glenn was putting the wise men there. Yes. Dean is like, no, no, this is religious. He's like, no, they're gardeners. And he had them in like little overalls and everything.
Yes. See?
So she just starts punting them.
Kicking them. Yeah, that was awesome.
And then she goes to punt baby Jesus. No, that's a baby Jesus.
He's like, it's a doll, Glenn. They're all dolls. She walks off. It was awesome. Yeah. So, well, Amy wants to prove that she's crazy and stole a car, so she calls her ex-boyfriend, and like he's there with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she has some issues about that. And on the other side of things, let's see here, Jonah and Kelly are hitting it off.
Yeah, which is good because,
yeah.
God, I can't think of his name. The guy in the wheel, Garrett.
Garrett, yeah.
Garrett and Jonah have some of the best dialogue when they're fighting about the...
Yes. The odd, and it's the odd couple type stuff yes. going on.
The and harmonica I like it lessons when, on YouTube.
Oh, God. And I liked it when Jonah's talking to Kelly about it, and he's giving some examples of things he's done to help, and he goes, oh, my God, I'm a terrible roommate.
Yeah. Like, once he hears it, he's like, holy crap.
I'm a horrible person who's been doing terrible things. And then they go home together.
Yeah, because she's, like, really awkward, even more awkward than he is. And she's
oh,
like,
wait.
So...
We really need to bring up the part where Jonah and Garrett play Santa Claus and the Elf.
Oh, my God.
And they go at each other and start swearing at each other and storm off.
Yep.
In front of the one little kid with the person drove 3 hours to meet Santa. Oh, God, that was fantastic.
That kid wasn't even that little. He looked like he was, nope. like, 12 or 13.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, that was great. I mean, they went lit into each other.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. And then Kelly was like trying to take the picture and she's like, ah.
I liked Dina's constant harassment of the Salvation Army guy.
Oh, God, yes.
She's like, look, it's really cold out here. It's unbearable. I'm going to take the reindeer inside, okay? And slow down the bell.
Your cadence on the bell is horrible.
Yeah. And then we got some fun side shots of the reindeer, you know, just every now and then, like eating apples or dragging off the metal post. I loved it. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a great, fun episode.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Amy, of course, at the end, she's like, oh, where's Jonah? He would love this. And, of course, Jonah's gone.
Yep.
And it's the will they, won't they with Amy and Jonah still.
Yep, but I like him better with Kelly.
Me too.
I liked the motorized carts at first, but then it got ridiculous.
Okay, they drove them to her ex's, Amy's ex's girlfriend's house.
Yeah.
To confront her, and then when she realizes how stupid it was and goes to leave, and the batteries are dead.
Yeah. So they had exactly enough juice to get there.
Yeah, that was what was stupid for me. So then they had to hang out and wait for them to charge.
Yep.
Yep. But anyways, otherwise, great episode.
And don't forget the very last scene where poor Sandra is
yes.
Sweeping up the floor and gets the call that her man is out of his coma, but nobody's there to go with her, so she decides to drive one of the carts herself.
Yeah. Takes off in a scooter.
Yep.
Anywho. Yeah, The Orville. Final episode this season, which is really sad.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's like 12 episodes gone already, and I really enjoyed – I didn't hate a single episode.
Nope.
And I'm definitely looking forward to season two, and it's almost kind of sad that it's done now. But nice knowing that we're definitely getting a season two, or at least it's been renewed.
Yes.
So.
And there's at least one episode because there was supposed to be a 13th episode, and they're going to put it as a bonus.
Yep.
I loved the intro where the captain was trying to hang with the crew after hours.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, everybody had something else going. You know, I'm all jammed out. I'm in my pajamas. You see this? Yeah. This is what I mean by jammed out. He's like, no, I get it. Yeah.
I get it.
Then the engineer with and the then he goes to hottest woman in the world.
Oh, yeah. And she looked great with that jacket on unzipped with nothing else on me. I liked it when she goes, went to, not Mortis.
Bortus.
Bortus, thank you. And they give... Oh, would you like to have a drink with us? We're going to have this sludge that creates a parasite in you, and it's very fresh.
Yeah, he's like, I hope that if it looks like this going in, I wonder what it looks like coming out. Oh, it doesn't come out.
It doesn't come out.
Then later on, he's like, they were wrong. It comes
it
out.
It came out. Oh, and they played that crazy-ass version of Hot Potato?
Yes. Just tossing it back and forth. What? What? This is it? That spike, that 6-inch spike goes right through his hand.
Yeah. But, yeah, Ed starts up a relationship with his ex again.
Yep.
And, it kind of causes some issues later. And so they, by the end of it, she's like, we can't be together.
He actually used the only kind of logic that would make sense to get back together with an ex, which is the whole reason that we broke up was because you were cheating on me. But now that we found out that it was pheromone induced, you know,
yeah.
And he basically, like, when he found her cheating,
I guess it wasn't your fault.
Yeah. He just walked out. And so now he's like, well, you know what? If it wasn't really your fault and we never tried anything like counseling or anything like that. So it made sense in that respect. It wasn't just like, hey, close quarters, let's bang.
Right. But ultimately at the end, she decided that they couldn't be together because they're not good for each other because, you know, us being together, you already compromised your integrity as the captain of the ship.
Big time. I mean, he really did on this mission.
So I'm glad that they just went the route of we shouldn't be together. I'm going to walk away as opposed to I'm leaving the ship.
Right. Yes. I was worried about that as well.
Yep. But they in uncharted space, they come across a planet that is hopping between two dimensions.
Yeah, because they don't see the planet at first.
Yeah. They don't say how long – they never specified how long that they can see the planet that I could remember. Just that when it disappears, it's gone for 11 days and then it pops back again. But on their side of the wall, it's been 700 years.
Right. Yeah, they didn't say how – you're right. They didn't say how long it was that they were open. Right. Open for business, I guess. It's not very long though, because when they went down there at the very end, they were like, oh, you've only got 31 minutes before the window closes.
Well, if you think about it, if it takes 11 days to rotate all the way around, whoops, all the way around the sun, it's probably only a couple of days it's in view before it disappears again.
Right.
Sorry, I said I'm a lot again this episode. Anyways, so they send an away team down to the planet to check it out. And Kelly has interaction with a local just by helping her heal a cut on her head.
But not just – like she doesn't even bandage it. She like pulls out her little tricorder type thing and zaps it away. And she's like, look, you're all healed.
And then she leaves and then 700 years later they are completely worshiping her as their god.
Yep.
And I kind of – all right. So I enjoyed the story. Like the premise of it and how it affected her and seeing people die in her name and this and that and everything.
Yep.
And then 700 years later, we're now like in our times and they're still like, she's still God and it's still happening no matter what she does to try to stop it. And then, you know, the android agrees to stay there for 700 years to help try to fix the problem. And then when they come back, oh, they seems to have more technology than quote unquote we do.
Right.
But they, you know, hey, if it wasn't you, it would have been somebody else. Don't worry about it. We're all enlightened now. We understand. I like that whole aspect of the story. I thought that was great.
Yes.
I just didn't like the premise of how she became the god because she healed a small child with no witnesses around, and yet these people took this child's word as the gospel.
Right. That was a little bit of a stretch, I felt as well.
Yeah. The setup for it, I didn't care for. But the rest of the story, the path that they travel down, I really enjoyed it.
Agreed. Yep. That was the only real sticking point. And it was fairly minor. You know, you're right. Yep. They were a primitive culture, so you could kind of put it on that and say, you know, that they probably didn't even have writing utensils at the time. So it was all verbal history. So when somebody speaks of something, they're probably closer to telling the truth than, say, nowadays. But.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it was. I agree. It was good.
Again, sad to see it go.
Yep, it's such a good show because it's got so many things going for it. You know, it's got serious stories like this one. You know, real conflict, real troubles. But then it also throws in the humor, like you know, him trying to get together with people in the beginning. Or I loved it when he thought that the admiral had hung up, and she's like, "That's an order," and he's like, "That's an order." And she's like, "What'd you say?
Oh my god! I'm so sorry. I thought you'd hung up. I didn't. I'm so sorry."
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
No, they tell a great story. They have some good humor. I mean, it's just well-executed show.
Yes.
Well-executed show.
Absolutely.
Of our regular shows to chat about, I think I'm down to Mr. Robot. And that's it. How about yourself? For our regular shows. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. Okay. But it's weird. I don't see where my – damn it, where are my Mr. Robot notes?
Well, did you watch it?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where did they go? Well, go for it. Start talking.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't wasn't as big of a fan of this episode. You had essentially two storylines that were running at the same time, one as Mr. Robot and then one as Elliot, but they were showing them happening at once.
Yeah, it made it a little confusing at times.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out a way to surmise it. And essentially, Tyrell's home, and he gets made the CTO of – the figurehead CTO of E-Corp again.
Right. We know that he's the figurehead, and he's told that he's a figurehead, but to the news and everything, he is the
essentially, he's going to be Dark Army's puppet.
Yep.
And they have – and somehow Mr. Robot finds out about the fact that the FBI is – the Dark Army has something on the FBI.
Yes.
A mole working in them or whatever, which we already knew this.
Right.
And then he alerts Elliot. Via writing it on the mirror. And then Elliot eventually figures it out. Darlene tries to seduce Dom and gets caught trying to steal her badge.
Well, so she brings definitely her seduces her.
Oh, yeah. No, they had the sex and drank and had a great time together at the bar, then at her house. Oh, yeah. It's just after the fact when Darlene tries to steal the badge, whatever, Dom brings her in to her boss, who is the FBI plant.
Right.
And when they reveal the big fact that there's a mole and the FBI's in on it and on and on, you know, it's – I feel like Dom kind of got the – figured out that it was him.
Yes.
And he tried to kibosh and push everything down.
Yep. Yeah, because he's been kind of squirrely like that here and there. But she's just been kind of like – I think she's been thinking that, oh, he's just trying to cover his ass.
Yeah.
And now she's like putting two and two together and saying, wait a minute. It's definitely this guy. He's selling us out from the inside.
Yeah, exactly. And Elliot's trying to launch a fictitious stage three.
Yes.
And he's going through painstaking efforts to do this. And the Dark Army, White Rose especially, is pretty
– losing
pretty
her mind.
Worked up about things. Yeah, losing Shim's mind. And at the end basically says – gives him permission to kill Elliot.
Yeah.
So.
Which is going to be interesting because we've only got one episode left.
Yeah. I mean it was a good story. It was kind of almost – I'm not going to say convoluted at times, but just – it was very – sometimes confusing and hard to follow.
It was just because they kept – like it started with that message that he had.
Yeah.
And it kept – like it was supposed to be leading us back to how Mr. Robot first put the message there, you know.
Right.
And so you'd be watching it normally and then suddenly it wouldn't give you any indication that you were watching the past. And then you'd suddenly be watching the present again. And it was, it was confusing to me as well.
Yeah, it was a little confusing, but I don't know. I think we got, one episode left?
Yep, just one.
Yeah, and then that series is done as well, season is done.
Still I look forward to seeing
what, I'm loving the show too. I'm looking forward to see what happens with it.
Me too.
So I watched a new show.
Okay.
And I know you watched it as well. Happy?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I hate to say this when we talk about like first episodes of a season.
Yeah.
But preliminarily, just based on what I saw in this episode, I loved it.
Me too.
I thought it was fantastic.
I thought the story was wildly out there, crazy, almost like kind of like blood drive-ish as far as, you know, you have to kind of take the reality of the end with a grain of salt, I guess.
Yep.
But Christopher Maloney was fantastic in this.
Right from the get-go, I said it starts with a festive suicide fantasy. I mean, that was him dancing and the lights going off and the blood just spraying out of his head and the hooker woman coming up. It was just fantastic.
Yes.
And I said, I'm going to love this show.
Yeah.
It was – see, I know what you're saying about Blood Drive. It also really reminded me in a way of shows like or movies like Sin City.
Yes.
It definitely had that gritty kind of feel like the Marv stories.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it almost makes you think that Christopher Maloney's character is kind of unkillable.
Because he even says that at one point. He's like, I don't know if I can die.
But he's a cop turned hitman who is just lives every moment like he could die at any second. He's kind of seems to be cool with it, but maybe not. But he's not going to slow down.
Right. Yeah. Like he's not going to slow down, but he also doesn't seem to care. Like, he's not like, I'm on a mission or I've got to do this. He's just like, well, I'm still walking, so I might as well keep doing this. The setup that he did in the beginning for those four teenage shitbags was just awesome. Like, he shows up there to kill the guy who's getting blown by the hooker.
The guy's in like a shrimp inflatable shrimp suit.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. And she's dressed like an angel.
Yeah.
And she's like, can we hurry this up? I got an 11 o'clock. And he's about to hit her over the head with a hammer and kill her.
Yep.
Christopher Maloney walks in and the hammer flies, almost hits him in the head, and he kills this guy. And he's like, I'm at 11 o'clock.
And she freaks out at first. And then she's like, hey, aren't you a cop? Didn't you arrest me? Yeah, I did. I'm not a cop anymore, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she's like, you were a real gentleman. You didn't even try anything on me.
Yeah. He gets her to help him set up these other hitmen guys that are like some teenage sons of the mob boss or whatever.
Yeah.
And this television show, violent.
Yeah.
Crazy over the top, like shooting scenes and being killed and blood flying from your body and on and on and on. And I love it. Just go watch the show.
Yeah.
Just go watch the show.
It's really good. And it's deep. Like, I was worried that they were going to solve this thing right in the first episode. And no, there's some weirdness. Like, I mean, a lot of weirdness, but like how the female cop just like gave him her car at one point. He's just like, give me your car. And she's like, okay.
They had to have worked together at some point, or there's some sort of connection between the two.
Right.
But she seems to be working for the bad guys now.
Yes. But kind of. It's like she works for the bad guys, but also has a conscience.
Right. And kind of the big, big thing about the show is that Happy's character sees a imaginary unicorn.
Yep.
Who is the imaginary friend of this little girl who has been kidnapped, and the unicorn tries to go get help, and the unicorn can only like request help from people that can see him, obviously.
Yes.
And so he finds Happy, and at first Happy is like, well, whatever, I'm going to give myself more drugs, and then I won't know who you are. You'll go away. You're just a figment.
Happy,
which is hilarious because it reminded me of the figment dragon from Disney. But anyways.
Yes. Happy's actually the horse's name.
Oh, that's sorry. I keep calling Christopher Maloney's character Happy, don't I?
I can't remember what Christopher Maloney's character
is. Either can I. But Happy is the horse's name. That's right. The unicorn's name. But regardless, so eventually he's like, wait a second. Maybe you're not, a manifestation of drugs or something in my brain.
Yeah. How'd you know that there were five?
Yes, because there was five guys out in the hallway coming at him to kill him. So
I feel like
I really like the show.
Yeah. Really, you owe it to yourselves to go check out the first episode. It is hyper-violent and really good. And it's another one of those shows like Blood Drive where, like, at one point they're panning across and there's a guy and a girl in a car having sex. And they're buck naked, but there's a big censored bar over her breasts as they bounce. And it says censored right on it.
Mm-hmm.
But
and they're dropping F-bombs.
They're dropping F-bombs. This show, I won't even go into details about it, but I will say the fight scenes are amazing.
Yep.
Especially the hospital one.
Some great dialogue.
Yes. I loved the scene on the ambulance when the EMT was like, I've always wanted to stab somebody with adrenaline, and then he gets shot in the neck. And he's like throwing himself out the back door, and he's so like, awesome.
That was awesome, yes. Well, when he's having his heart attack on the ambulance, or his second heart attack or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah, and great lines. You know, the prostitute saying, yep, lady, I've got everything that can come out of a guy all over me right now.
Oh, I got every fluid that can come out of a man on me right now. But please go get cleaned up.
Yes, but seriously, check this show out. If you liked Blood Drive, or if you like anything that's like twisted and depraved, but still fun as hell, if you liked Sin City or the Kill Bill movies or anything like that.
Yeah. Do not watch this show looking for a cinematic masterpiece.
No. Yeah. No. Although, it's a really good show.
I agree.
I can't wait to see more of it.
Oh, yeah, me too. I watched Con Man Season 2 on Sci-Fi On Demand.
I tried to, and I'm going to try again, but I was having trouble with my app.
Yeah.
I was, like, plugging away at the app, and it was saying that, like, it wanted my cable provider, and they had no listing for Spectrum or Time Warner Cable or anything like that. So,
well, really they do have it because I'm using the app on my Kindle, and I had to sign into my mom's Spectrum account so I could watch it because I don't have cable.
Yeah, I was using it on my Fire TV, which you would think. You know,
oh, gosh, you would think. Well, can't you? Is it on Sci-Fi On Demand through Spectrum Cable?
That's the next thing that I'm going to check.
Okay. Well, I won't go into it. There's 12 episodes. They average, they're about 12 minutes a piece, 12 to 13 minutes a piece, and then there's like three or four that are like 17 minutes long. If you like the first season, you're going to love this season because this season is even better.
And if you didn't like the first season, what the hell is wrong with you?
If you didn't like the first season, you're probably not listening to this show anyways. Yeah. But yeah, it was great. I can't wait for you to watch it, John, so we can talk about it. And I'll give this a hard sell push. Go watch it. It's on Sci-Fi. It actually says expiring soon, so don't waste time. And watch both seasons. If you haven't seen the first season, watch that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
So I watched the new show Godless.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Western. I like Westerns. Yeah. Essentially, it's about a town where there's a mining accident. 83 men are all killed, and now it's just a town that's essentially run by women. And there's a bad guy turned good running from his old gang, and his old gang's hunting him down. And I've watched the first couple episodes, and there are some scenes of some exceptionally violent, hardcore things that you're going to see. So that's why it's TVMA. It's not for the squeamish. Jeff Daniels. Holy crap. He is the head bad guy, and he's delivering lucky. You know, like when you started watching The Blacklist and you like James Spader as Raymond Reddington, and he would do these monologues, and you're like, oh my God, these are amazing. I didn't realize James Spader was this good.
Absolutely.
That's Jeff Daniels in this. He creeps my wife out. Yeah. He's a very sick man, his character is, and Jeff Daniels' delivery is just phenomenal, actually. So I've watched two episodes. There's seven. It's a mini-series is what they're calling it. Like, the first episode's over an hour. The second one's an hour, 14 minutes. I think, like, episode six is 40 minutes long. But they're all about an hour, or even better. And the final episode's an hour 20. So, I mean, it's a lot of content for seven episodes, a lot of time. But it's – I don't know. I'm really enjoying it so far. So,
see, I'm not a huge Western fan.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I like Westerns. Well, you liked Westworld.
Yes.
And you enjoyed the Western parts of Westworld, and you enjoyed the Western parts of Preacher.
True. This is true.
You'll like this then.
Yeah.
Because it's that type of Western.
Nice.
Yeah, so I think you'll like this then. But Yeah, I give that a good thumbs up if you're weird like I am.
Nice.
And I guess the only other show I watched this week is I watched Stranger Things season 2 in its entirety.
As did I.
It's weird. I loved the first season, but it took me a while to finally start watching it.
Yep.
And then once I started watching it, I went right through it.
Yep.
And same exact thing this time around. It's like, I mean, I've already watched all of Longmire, watched all of Punisher, I watched all of other stuff that came out after Stranger Things season 2 did.
Yep.
And I heard a lot of great stuff about it, and I've avoided all the, oh, things you missed, or 80s references, or this or that, or whatever.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to ruin it, because I knew I wanted to watch it. I just had to wait for the right time. And then finally, I was like, how'd you just put this on? And it instantly sucked me in.
Absolutely. Same here.
Yeah.
Like, it was not a background show. It was something that I sat right there and focused on the whole time.
Yep. Yeah, I did too. I mean, it was a good story. The effects were great. I mean, I don't know. The characters are all really that are supposed to be likable are likable. You know, the introduction of Mad Max I thought was great. I don't know how much I want to give away other than just say I really, really liked it. And if you haven't watched it, you need to go watch it.
Well, I'll say this. It's been out for over a month.
Yeah.
It came out just before Halloween. So
yeah.
It's been out for about a month and a half now. So
yeah.
If people haven't seen it, then, you know, oh well. But
yeah.
I will say I like the first season better overall.
Yeah.
I feel like the first season was more scary. It was more unknown. It was more like thrilling. And in this season, like, it wasn't that it was slower, but it was slower. It's, you know,
yeah.
The whole cabin in the woods kind of thing was a little boring. Like that whole thing with her and him in the woods didn't get resolved until like almost the very end of the season.
Oh, see, that didn't bother me at all. I didn't find that boring at all. I thought that was actually kind of like interesting, you know, as far as like how he had hit her and she's trapped out there and she really can't leave and she's, you know, I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it.
It wasn't bad, but yeah. It was a bit annoying to me that like through the whole season that was a thing. And it wasn't until like the very last three episodes, 7, 8, and 9, that she finally got out and really got a chance to do something. And
yeah. Then we have that whole episode of her where she meets her quote unquote sister, another girl that was like her from the lab that it was kind of experimented on, I guess.
Yep.
That whole ordeal with her and her sister, I didn't care for that at all. I could have done without that, but I understand why they did it. But
so I remember I was doing the same thing as you and avoiding all the spoilers and everything like that. But I remember that there was, like, I was browsing through my news feed one day on Google, and it briefly came up and it said something about what the hell happened or just ignore this episode of Stranger Things. And I was like, oh, not going to read it. So then I wanted to go back and read it, and sure enough, it was that episode.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, just don't worry about that episode because what the fuck just happened there?
Yeah, it didn't really have anything to, it didn't assist the storyline in my opinion.
Nope.
It didn't really do anything in my opinion. You know, you have the and I don't know, the little love story between Mike and Eleven or Jane, whatever you want to call her, Elle.
Yeah.
It's a little too Romeo Juliet-ish. That's good. They're a little young, I think, to be that emotionally driven.
Yeah, considering that they've been apart for a year.
Yeah.
And for that whole year, he's been, like, pining after her constantly.
And she's been pining after him but can't talk to him.
Right.
And then when they finally meet, you finally get that, oh, awesome, they're together. Like, you do get that moment of, like, oh, I'm so glad that they're, you know, they're with each other, they're hugging or whatever it is. And then you go, oh, wait, they're, like, 12.
Right. 13.
Yeah.
They're 13.
They're 12 or 13 or whatever. So it's just, so they do that really awkward 12, 13 year old kiss thing. And it's just kind of like, oh, this is not a tragic love story of two people that have been held apart. These are kids. And, so yeah. It's almost became creepy.
Yeah.
Yep. Almost became creepy. But, yeah.
It was, it was a good season. I just, I really feel like, you know, in the first season, again, it was all unknown. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know what was going on with this person. We had death.
Yeah.
You know, like Barb died.
Yeah.
We didn't know where Will was, if he was coming back. Everything was very, like, eerie and scary. And in this one, it's like everybody knows everything that's going on. And the scary government agency isn't even that scary because, you know, they're just
Kinda like, Paul Reiser's the new boss. And
he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, yeah. And he even takes, you know, Linda and – not Linda, Nancy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Nancy. Even brings Nancy and Jonathan in and is just very calmly explains to them and shows them, hey, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we got going on. This is kind of why we got to keep this under wraps and everything. We can't let people know about this. What if the Russians – like he explains it in such a way where it's just like – he's being very open about it. And then they're just like, oh, we recorded you. Fuck you.
And then they go to that awesome guy who is going to basically break the story.
I like Sean Austin's character.
Yes, Bob.
I like the fact he works at Radio Shack.
Yep.
I loved all the 80s references to things. Dude. The video games. I want an arcade like that, dude.
So many accurate representations. You know, even when the police pull up in that weird episode 7 and you see the Illinois plates and you're like, my God, those look old. Well, they probably are really old. Or the wrappers for the Three Musketeers.
Yep. The little nuances that they did. Yeah. Yeah. I loved all the 80s references. I loved her TV and how crappy it was and then the commercials. And yeah, I thought those were all good as well. But I just, I don't know. I really enjoyed the show. I don't, are they doing a third season?
Yes. They've been renewed for third season.
Good. Good. I look forward to more 80s references.
Absolutely.
And again, I you're right. I think the first season was a little better because it was more establishing, but I enjoyed both seasons.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I definitely like the second season. I just like the first season better, I think.
Yeah, understandably.
It was interesting to see the whole Nancy, Steve, Jonathan thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
How in the first season you thought her and Jonathan might get together, but it was like, nope, she's going to get with Steve because he's actually a cool guy. He was a douche for a little while, and then he's a cool guy. And now she gets drunk, and she gets mad at him and yells at him and tells him to go away, so he goes away, and then he's the one to blame for that. Like he says later on, he's like, I don't know why I'm sorry. What am I sorry for?
Exactly. You're the one that got drunk and then said you basically you don't love me.
Yeah.
And, or you're pretending.
And told him to fuck off. And she's like, yeah, well, we're done.
And told him that he was bullshit.
Yep.
He's like, no, Nancy, you're bullshit. So, yeah. And then he helps the kids, like at a drop of a hat when they need assistance with something. He doesn't hesitate to go over and help them. You know?
Yep.
So,
yeah. And I like how he said towards the end there, he's like, hey, I may be a shitty boyfriend, but I've discovered I'm a pretty kick-ass babysitter. Yes, you are.
Yep. And then when Max's brother shows up and they get in that fight, like, I thought they were just like, just show him the Demodog in the fridge.
Right.
And he'll be like, oh, shit. But instead, no, they get in the fight. And when Steve wakes up in the car – that was great.
That was great.
That was great.
I like how Dustin right off, he's like, they wanted to leave you behind, but I said you'd be cool.
Well, you were wrong. Yeah.
And Mike was a bit pissy through most of this.
Yeah. It's the teen angst of his long lost love.
Yep. And he doesn't want another girl coming in to replace her.
Yeah, I thought I remember Mike being a nice kid in the first season.
Yeah, well, he was.
And then there's so much shitting going on Max from everybody, and she just kind of takes it.
God, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing too. Like, we almost got to feel sorry for her brother, almost for 1 second when he gets the crap kicked out of him by his father.
Yeah.
And basically run into the ground and humiliated. And you're like, oh, so he's just a product of this. But they never expand on that, and he just goes right on being a douchebag.
Yep. Seducing the older woman.
Yeah.
And then
very well, too.
And then fighting Steve, and then being a douchebag on the court the whole time. And regardless. Good stuff, though.
Yeah.
you watch anything else, dude?
Let's see. Nope, just a couple of trailers and
I got a couple of news things I want to touch on, which I'm sure you've heard this one.
Go for it.
But the it started out as kind of a rumor going Quentin Tarantino saying, "Hey, I'd like to direct the Star Trek film."
Yeah.
And then, like Paramount being like, "Oh, awesome! It can even be rated R." Mm-hmm. And Patrick Stewart saying, "I'd like to come back and be Picard for this." So,
yeah,
it was kind of like, "Holy crap!" That went down. Not downhill fast, but that was unexpected.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think that it could work. It'll be a hard sell. I know that Star Trek Discovery has, you know, boobies and F-bombs and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they could do a feature-length film. R-rated movies are hard sell because they alienate a big part of the audience. You know, kids can't go by themselves. And parents don't always want to bring kids. So it's hard to sell an R movie to and especially in our movie, like something that's Star Trek, which has always been a family-friendly thing.
Well, you know, Aaron was saying that he's kind of getting a little frustrated, like with these things, because like now you have the Star Trek movie; they're talking about making it rated R. You have some other comic book movies like Deadpool, Logan that are getting the R rating, yep. And then he was also commenting that a lot of the DC animated movies he can't sit down and watch with his kids anymore because the theme and the topics and the subject matter is becoming too adult.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
You and I have often touted the fact that as kids, we were exposed to that stuff at a much younger age.
I watched Predator and RoboCop practically on repeat when I was like 8, 9 years old.
Yep. I went to the drive-in as a 5, 6, 7-year-old. Went to the drive-in with my parents to see things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the Friday the 13th movies.
Yep. Yeah. You know,
we're still fully functioning members of society, have never committed crimes or murdered anybody. I think a lot of it has to do with context and what the parents are willing to sit down and explain to their kids and what they're exposed to outside of that type of thing. Yeah. You know, if I had been in a household or if you had been in a household where people regularly, you know, killed living things or showed off weapons or stuff like that, it may have gone differently for us. But I don't know. I think that I get what he's saying, but at the same time, as a grown person who enjoys this media, I'm excited that we can get to this kind of stuff. You know, I'm excited that we can get a Deadpool movie that is more like the comics and has the blood and the swearing and the dick jokes.
I'll say this. I don't think he was complaining about, like, the Deadpool movie. He was just using that as an example of how comic movies are becoming rated R. Yep. I think his biggest gripe was the DC animated movies that are becoming more risque and
fair enough.
R-rated, like Killing Joke.
Dude, Killing Joke was never meant to be anything that
no, it wasn't
with kids.
Yeah,
that, no, it that'd be like saying, you know, oh, Watchmen would have to be R-rated. Yes, and Watchmen is not meant for kids.
But at the same time, you're right. I also love the fact that we're in a world where we can get a rated R Deadpool movie that's not dumbed down. I mean, look at Taken Part 3.
Oh, my God.
Where it was clearly an R-rated flick that they decided to make PG-13 to expand to a broader audience. And you could see, like, when the guy gets shot with the shotgun and, like, the clothes rip apart, but they've digitally removed the blood.
Yep. Or her throat was slashed and there's no blood.
Yeah.
Just a black line on her neck.
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, there's – yeah, that's just crap. Anyways, my other news item I have is that CBS All Access has ordered a revival of The Twilight Zone.
Interesting.
To be helmed by Jordan Peele.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, a year or two ago, if you had told me that, I would have gone, what? From Key and Peele? But now that I've seen Get Out.
Exactly.
I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, after Get Out, he has got some good horror sci-fi rep going on. So, yeah, I guess it's slated to come out next year. Like, I guess he's working on it now. But that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Because we begin an anthology show that actually is an anthology where each episode is a standalone story.
Yeah.
As opposed to by the season.
Right. Right. Yeah. Which, hey, Black Mirror is so great.
Hey,
I get what you're saying.
Black Mirror is phenomenal. I can't wait. I think the new episodes don't drop till after Christmas now.
Yeah, it's like the 29th.
Yeah, so I was kind of like hoping I'd be able to watch it already, but I guess I can wait till after the holiday.
Yeah.
So what trailers did you watch?
Well, before that, I got a couple of news things. One is I got the notification, as I told you earlier, that Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 1 and 2 are now on Netflix.
Yes.
So anyone that's listening out there who heard us praise this show and didn't want to pay the money for Stars and said, I really want to see it, if you've got Netflix, you can now see the first two seasons. And do it. Go watch this show.
I'm going to rewatch it.
It's awesome.
30 minutes of awesome, yeah.
And the other one is that one of my favorite shows is coming back in January, I believe, which is The Magicians, which I've touted how much I've enjoyed that show a lot lately. And the first two seasons of that are on Netflix right now, too. So anybody who wants to catch up on that or just rewatch it, it's there, and you can check it out.
What network is that on?
Sci-Fi.
Okay.
And the only other one is not really like full on news, but they're counting it down and they say within the next couple of days, we're probably going to find out that Disney has taken the properties back from Fox.
Yeah, that's been pretty significant news actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing solid, but like originally it was, oh, the talks had stalled. And then it was like, oh, the talks are back on. Well, let's see. Well, if the talks are back on, then there's probably going to be a deal. And now like the most recent ones are like, yeah, we're probably going to see that they purchased the properties back. And holy hell. I did see an article the other day that was talking about how Logan, you know,
yes,
Hugh Jackman said that
the Hugh Jackman thing
would ever bring him back would be if he was part of the Avengers. And he kind of jokingly said it, but he was like, that would be too big of an opportunity to miss.
Yes, and if this happens, I would love to see – I get it, though. I mean, if they want to move forward with Wolverine, I could see him casting a younger guy or something like that, you know, going a different direction. But, man, to see Hugh Jackman, who's played Wolverine for so long – you know, to see any of those characters that played, you know, those X-Men characters in all these different movies, because maybe the movies haven't been the best, but they've done a great job with their continuity, sort of.
Unless you ask Deadpool.
Right, yeah.
McAvoy or Stewart, I can't keep these timelines straight.
Yeah, except for that one. But, you know, to see Hugh Jackman in the Marvel Universe as Wolverine and in Avengers flick as Wolverine, that would be pretty badass.
That really would be.
Especially and, see, like, Wolverine and the Hulk together.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Fastball like, special.
Yeah.
We had talked about this last week, and I'm not sure if you had seen this or not, but they have officially released promo pictures of Dark Phoenix.
I saw one, yes.
Yeah. So I'd say that one is coming out no matter what.
For whatever reason, I saw a thing the other day about Thor Ragnarok, the My Brother Needs Help thing that they did, and apparently that was Hemsworth's idea.
Nice.
Like he came up with that or something. I don't know, but it's. I was just thinking of that with the fastball. My brother needs help.
Yes.
Anyhow.
But yeah, as far as trailers, the big one this week was the full official trailer for Ready Player One.
Yeah, I watched that. There was a lot of references in there to, you know, 80s again, pop culture stuff.
But that's the weird thing is it's not just 80s because they had a lot of stuff in there that was like modern. Like Tracer from Overwatch is featured predominantly in there. The most recent versions of Harley and the Joker are in there. So. Okay. It's almost like they're just doing any kind of pop culture type stuff, which is
well. I mean, the show takes place in 2045,
right? And the Oasis allows you to create anything that you want, essentially, as long as you can pay for it. So, it's going to be a fun movie. It's probably going to be more fun than the book was. The book was good; I enjoyed it. But as I mentioned,
it's going to be visual. So.
Yes. And as I mentioned, you know, I listened to the audiobook with Will Wheaton narrating, and the guy who wrote the book loves lists, and he just keeps listing things over and over again. And that got really annoying early on. So I'm looking forward to this. I think it'll be good.
I saw the they just released the trailer and the release date as well of Jessica Jones season 2.
Yes.
Did you watch that?
I did.
Trailer looks pretty solid. I can't remember the exact date, but I think it's like March, right?
Yes, it's March 8th, I believe.
Okay, March 8th. Yeah, I knew it was March next year. So, yeah, that looks pretty solid. I was just thinking the other day, I don't know if I mentioned it to you or Rude, whoever it was, that like, you know, like it seems like we've had an exciting build from, you know, this season to Defenders to Punisher. And then after Punisher, it was just like, oh, what's next?
Right.
What's the next show that's coming out? And I think it was, oh, it's Jessica Jones season 2. I was like, yeah, but I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything. It's like they fell off the hype bandwagon for a while there. Like, I even expected to see, like, some sort of trailer come out right after Punisher did, you know, like a week after, something like that, to get people, you know, oh, hey, now that you've watched Punisher, get a load of this.
Yep.
So
it's interesting because that's two things that we talked about last week, like not seeing anything for Jessica Jones and not seeing anything for Dark Phoenix, and then both of those came out this week.
Oh, it's just how it works sometimes.
Yeah. They're listening to us. The government is tapping our podcast.
Yes. But yeah, I think that's all I got.
I did not watch the trailer for Jurassic World 2.
I have not watched that either.
Because I know that it's out, and I have no interest. The last movie really didn't do anything for me, and it kind of soured me, actually. So I didn't really care to see the trailer.
Well, there you go, then.
There was one, though, that I watched that was weird, and I think you should check it out at some point.
Okay.
It's called Alita Battle Angel, A-L-I-T-A.
Oh, I think I watched that.
It's interesting. She's got, like, really big eyes, but they're almost like CGI eyes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And cyborg combat, futuristic stuff. Looks pretty badass.
Yeah, I think I did watch that a couple weeks ago or something. I don't recall. I'll check it out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll check it out when it comes out, I think. There you go. I might wait until it's on home video. But, yeah, I think that's it for me. I've been doing my best still. It's been getting harder and harder to avoid the Star Wars trailers.
I'm looking forward to the fact that in just 3 days we're going to be watching Star Wars.
Yeah.
Someone asked me the other day, oh, did you see the Star Wars trailer yet? No, I haven't. I'm avoiding everything about it. Really? I'm surprised you haven't seen it. I literally just said I've been avoiding everything about it. I don't want to be surprised. So
well, you do want to be surprised.
That's what I mean. I don't want the surprise to be ruined.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to be – I don't want to – I've talked about this before with you. I'll remember a scene in the trailer that I haven't seen in the movie yet, and the movie's got to be close to getting over. It's like, son of a bitch.
Yes. I hate that.
Or even worse, the Rogue One trailer, which had a scene that wasn't in the movie because they completely cut that bit out.
Yeah. Changed the whole story.
Yeah. So I've been trying to avoid it. I've been doing a good job avoiding it, I think.
Me too. Some things have slipped in because, like, you'll just be watching TV and then suddenly a commercial will come up and you're like, oh, gotta hit mute, gotta turn away.
Well, luckily they usually, they'll kick on that, you know, that opening tone, you know, the do, 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 and you're like, oh, look away, look away.
Yep.
Like, you recognize the little theme there, that one little line or whatever it is, and the note of the song and urges you to look away. So won't be as good as when we saw Thor Ragnarok, and you're like, ah, Star Wars trailer! And we're both plugging our ears with our heads down.
We would have looked really silly if anybody else had done that.
It's so loud, I have to hum now. All right. All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us for our 89th episode.
God, that's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot. It's a big number. It's a big number. Anywho, on the Twitter machine, I'm at Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch? Facebook is What Did You Watch This Weekend? Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next.